So I was, during the prelude, one of the verses, nothing will hold me back from you, was the lyric. And I was just thinking, Dustin, we're both wearing our hold nothing back bracelets tonight. It's pretty cool. I just want to thank all of you for coming tonight. It is awesome to just see so many of you. And I know that Dustin and Catherine appreciate all your love and all your support. You know, there are moments in a man's life that are bigger and more exciting than words can express. Like the decision to follow Christ, or the marriage to my best friend. Thanks, Dan. The birth of my sons and all the milestones throughout their lives, and the moment they each accepted Christ. The marriage of my oldest son to a beautiful, godly girl. The birth of a granddaughter who absolutely makes my heart melt. Probably not a good thing. She's in row one. And today, the ordination of Dustin as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stink. Now that you think about it, I've had a pretty full life. But seriously, it's an incredible honor to be invited by my son to share a brief challenge with him and with all of you on this special evening, a truly defining moment in his life. Before I share my challenge with Dustin and with all of you, let me first read Acts 14:23 as a starting point. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. Tonight, we are committing Dustin Charles Miller to the Lord as a minister of the gospel. Over the past 24 hours, Dustin, I have been joined by your mother, Nate, and Seth in praying and fasting for you, your family, and for the ministry that God has entrusted to you. As all of you know, Dan summed it up, Dustin has a very inviting personality. And when you meet him, you become a best friend. He's just fun to be with. Dustin has always had a tender and sensitive heart for God. Even as a young man, those that Dustin reached out to as friends many times were the ones that no one else wanted to have anything to do with. At an early age, he was already ministering to the weak, the outcast, and the brokenhearted. One of my greatest pleasures has been to partner in the gospel with you over the years. It doesn't surprise me that we're here tonight committing you to full-time service. Your mom and I realized early on that you were uniquely gifted, equipped, and called of God for this work. I thank God for you. I certainly. Did not deserve such a gift. It's an honor and privilege to be your dad. And I want you to know how incredibly proud your mom and I are for the man you have become and the laborer you are and will continue to be all the days of your life. That was the rough part. And now the challenge, Dee Dee. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans 15. beginning in verse 17. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God, but what I have said and done. By the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Lycaonia, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. I had been praying about what God would have me challenge you with, and on the flight to Kansas City to see your brother Luke play in the national tournament, I was reading the Word, and God drew me to these five verses and the amazing truths that they hold for a minister of the gospel. I even told Nate that God had just showed me what it is I was to share with Dustin at his ordination. But I want you to know it's not been easy for your old man putting these truths into words. So here we go. Truth number one. Make humility the cornerstone of the ministry God has given you. Like the Apostle Paul, glory in Christ and in him alone in your service to God. Charles Spurgeon said, humility is the proper estimate of oneself. Andrew Murray put humility this way. Jesus Christ humbled himself and became obedient to death. His humility gave his death its value, and so became our redemption. Jesus Christ took the place and fulfilled the destiny of man as a creature by his life of perfect humility. His humility became our salvation. His salvation is our humility. Many in church leadership over the years have fallen victim to their own perceived success. They begin believing that they are the ones responsible for the ministry God has entrusted and built through them, and that what has been accomplished could not have been done without them. In many cases, pride overcame them quietly and subtly. Pride can be very sly and unassuming, but all of us are susceptible to falling to its enticement. Run from it the moment it rears its ugly head, and take steps to avoid its appearance altogether. Dustin, I am learning more each day about what embracing humility means. As an athlete and a coach, it is a quality that is very, very rarely displayed and seldom respected. Learning to push away from pride has been an ongoing process for me over the past 20 years. I've come to the conclusion that the ultimate compliment for anyone is that it can be said of them, they were humble, and be said of you, Dustin Miller is a humble man of God. Embrace humility, D, and learn and respect its value. E.B. Meyer said this, the only hope of a decreasing self is an increasing Christ. Or as Peter reminds the elders and young men, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. I remember watching the film Devil's Advocate on TV, largely because one of my favorite actors, Keanu Reeves, is one of the main characters. Actually, the film is very accurate in characterizing Satan. But one line has always stuck with me and is the storyline of the whole movie. And it's when Satan says, vanity is my favorite sin. In Luke chapter 22, we're told not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. It's been said that it's no great thing to be humble when you are brought low, but to be humble when you are praised is a great and rare accomplishment. Pastor Dan shared about the humility he sees in Dustin, and I don't share this with you because I think, Dustin, you have a pride issue. I share this with you as a warning to not let your guard down and be overtaken by pride in any measure at all. Be that rare man of God and minister of the gospel, Dustin, whose cornerstone is and always will be humility. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit. By the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit. Truth number two. Allow the power of the Spirit to lead the ministry God has given you. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit." Pursue the Spirit and allow him to guide, teach, and direct your every step. His Spirit cannot be contained. Solomon tells us that. The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built. You have seen God's power. You grew up witnessing the power of God and the power of his Spirit. Even the day of your birth, God intervened to save your life. Later, he protected you, and he healed your mouth the day you fell through the glass table as a young child. Some say perhaps pushed through the glass table by another participant here this evening. You saw his Spirit at work through the boy at Hoop Heaven who had been healed of the rare blood disorder, and saw the power of God breaking through the demonic bondage that controlled Nelson, one of our campers. You've witnessed salvation coming to even the toughest street kids like Juan. And remember, Juan became our battle cry at Hoop Heaven in the early years. How about the miraculous way God, through the power of prayer, held back the rain time and time again during our camp and clinics here and overseas. You've seen changed lives like Troy Sledges and so many others who have been saved and radically transformed. Or what about the supernatural intervention of God in the life of Pun Pun? Do you remember little Ethan Rose, a Jewish boy, coming to the Lord in tears, and Abby Mabaye choosing to follow Christ instead of Muhammad? You had a front row seat to the amazing touch of the Father on Samantha Ray's mother and on Pastor Dan's knee. You've seen God's healing touch. And don't forget God's Spirit alive in Kosovo, providing through unbelievable circumstances a divine appointment for you to share the gospel. What about those many times God has spoken to you directly by his Spirit, D, regarding someone specifically like the man in the green sweater at Waffle House. And can you top this? How about the incredible and supernatural course of events that brought you and Kat together, and how God spoke to you in a dream about her? You've seen the power of the Spirit manifested over and over again in answered prayers and changed lives. You save no one, Dee. You heal no one. You reconcile no one. And you liberate no one. It is God and His Spirit alone. It is that Spirit that draws all of us and drew all of us to Christ. The Apostle Paul was a soul winner because of the word he taught and the demonstration of power that accompanied him. The Holy Spirit verified by signs and wonders that he spoke on behalf of God. Paul was a willing participant and an instrument used by God to proclaim the good news. And so are you. Welcome God's Spirit daily into your life and let God's Spirit lead the ministry He has given you. One of your favorite verses is a reminder of this truth. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Truth number three. This is still your fault, Dan. Fully proclaim the gospel of Christ throughout the ministry God has given you. I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ, it says in Romans 15. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. Well, I've been thinking a lot about this, Dee, and what it means to fully proclaim the gospel. I've come to a few conclusions. From Paul's example, I know we're to be committed to preaching Christ and him crucified. I know from Mark's gospel account that we are to walk in the power and in the authority we've been given, so that people can see the living God working in and through us by driving out demons and speaking in new tongues and by laying hands on the sick so that they will get well. I also know that our greatest example should be that of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, who was anointed to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Shouldn't our lives truly represent and proclaim that same gospel of good news? After all, Jesus told us, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I'll do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Let those you minister to, let the youth of Northridge Church hear you fully proclaim the gospel. Let them know of God's salvation and of His abundant grace and mercy. Instruct and lead them in what it means to be a passionate, sold out Christ follower. Make sure they understand the spiritual battle that exists for their souls here and in the heavenly realms. Don't shy away from teaching them about the fierceness of God's wrath and His judgment for those who disobey, rebel, dishonor, and mock His name. Let them know the cost of following Christ and of being a true disciple. Let them know the power sin can have if we are not abiding in Christ, and the damage and the scars that it leaves. Let them know that purity comes by living according to God's word alone. fully proclaim the gospel to everyone, Dee, everywhere you go. To fully proclaim the gospel effectively will require some special qualities, like an incredible devotion to prayer, a life of uncompromised trust and obedience, a commitment to studying and applying God's word, the willingness to serve the needs of others above yourself, and yes, a lot of hard work. But two qualities perhaps stand at the top of this list. First is that you minister from a clear conscience, free from the pollution and guilt of sin. God uses cleansed people who flee sin and pursue godliness. Paul tells Timothy, set an example for believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. The Greek word used for purity is quite a complex word, referring to integrity. Dan made mention of that in Dustin's life. A purity of conscience and motive, an innocence in conduct, a consistent and uncompromised loyalty to goodness and truth. And yes, it also refers to sexual purity, as Paul is warning Timothy to stay free from any form of sexual defilement, which, as we know, has been the undoing of many ministers and pastors. In fact, I asked a very respected Christian scholar and teacher just a few days ago what he thought was the most important challenge I could share with my son on his ordination. And he said, without hesitation, challenge him to be sexually pure and to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace out of a pure heart. Secondly, according to the disciple Jesus loved in John 15, to fully proclaim the gospel effectively, we must also be prepared for radical obedience, no matter what the cost to our reputation, our hopes, our dreams, our aspirations, or even our physical welfare. It will take courage, Dee. The kind of courage that God readily supplies through his presence. Which reminds me of one of my favorite verses. Have I not commanded you? Do not be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. To preach the word in season and out of season, and to correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction is not for the weak and the faint at heart. It is for the godly winner who is willing and ready to defend their faith at all cost. What an amazing and worthwhile purpose to know that your life was given each and every day to the work of fully proclaiming the good news. For it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. I can't begin to tell you, Dustin, how gratifying it is to know that my oldest son is that kind of man and is living that kind of life. I'm so thankful to God that you have been this example and role model to your brothers Nate and Luke. They admire and respect you for setting the standard they are following and for faithfully running the race before them. And now, the coach's recap. Truth number one. Make humility the cornerstone of the ministry God has given you. Truth number two, allow the power of the Spirit to lead the ministry God has given you. Truth number three, fully proclaim the gospel of Christ throughout the ministry God has given you, so that those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. Isn't it cool that all three are connected? Humility before God will allow the power of the Holy Spirit to be manifested in your life and will give you the wisdom and tools necessary to fully proclaim the gospel. Now I charge you, Dustin, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that's been entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Go the distance. Let's pray. Father God,